very happy to have a chance to talk to you tonight about this dependent origination. It is very hard subject or topic. Only when you attain enlightenment you can understand it properly. Or before you attain enlightenment, you can have a good understanding of dependent origin or origination. However, we can do our best to study, since it is the teaching of the Lord Buddha. In a way, it's not that hard to understand. But where that one come from? That's if we practice Buddhism, we have to understand that what the Buddha said at one time, if we are shot by the arrow, our duty is to take the arrow off of the body and try to get medicine to cure it. And if you ask who is causing me trouble, how this arrow made of, who is the grandfather of the person who shot me and all that, you die long before you get answer. So the practice is that we get shot by the arrow, that means we have suffering, okay? So once we have suffering, we have to find out the way, the cause of the suffering, to cure our sickness. That's the how, that's what you call the Buddhist approach. You cannot find out who is building this universe, you know? Or how the ignorance come about. But there is something to explain about the suffering. So let's come to this dependent origination. Start with the ignorance first. This is the primary cause. It's the main cause of our suffering. Whatever happened to us, any pain, any trouble at all, it comes because that ignorance. We can say sometimes as delusion. So ignorance, in a way, we can use the English language that we ignore the truth, the plain truth. We don't understand the truth. So once we ignore the truth, we cannot find out the cause of the suffering. We cannot come to the end of the suffering. We cannot walk along the path that lead us to the end of the suffering. So we can see life like this. No? Here is the mind and matter, the body and mind, you know. So this the karma. Through the ignorance we born into this life. If we attain enlightenment, we won't come to this human form. So through this ignorance, then like you are groping in the dark. There's no chance to get it right or do the right thing. You are groping the dark. You have to do something wrong. That means that you do the bad karma. So the bad karma stored up in our consciousness. What we call the consciousness. Pratipanthikvinyana. This one. So this is with us. So how? What to do then? But we can practice the teaching of the Buddha at any level. So if ignorance comes first, what they ask us to do is to have what we call right understanding. Right understanding of what? Of the full truth itself, about the suffering, how it comes about. So that means that when you have the right understanding and right thought, this one can be less and less. So what happens? So once you have a right understanding, you do the good karma. So that good karma stay in your mind. But this, we can say, this one is the original mind. The original mind, what they say in the, is bright and shining. But it's not enlightened in itself.
it become dark, defiled because the visitors, what they call unwanted visitors, the defilement that comes through it, it makes that knowing mind become dark. So we have to, then when this the good karma and the bad karma, so in this level, once you see this, you keep doing the good karma all the time. Don't do any bad karma. So once you do the good karma, good things start up in your mind. Then of course this very knowing mind, this is all together. This is the body, the elements. You see? For when it comes to this, say the best way to control when we have the body, make sure that you have right action and right speech. Okay? And this make sure that you practice meditation. So once you practice meditation, you are able to control your six senses. This is how we can minimize our trouble. The sixth sense is a gateway of all kind of trouble. If not my phone, anything that wherever there is contact, liking and disliking arise. When liking and disliking arise, it stores up in this mind, in this consciousness. So liking means greed, disliking means hatred. And because of, and if you don't practice the teaching of the Lord Buddha, say we have body and mind, no ability to control the six senses, then because of our contact, say it's a feeling, happy feeling, unhappy feeling, and neutral feeling. Happy feeling create craving, desire, and attachment. Unhappy feeling, anger. So anger arises. Then, because of the good feeling, we have craving, attachment to it. Something that unbelievable, no? In a way that something bad, but if we have ignorance, we still cling to it. We don't let it go. Like anger, everyone hate and don't like to have anger, but because of ignorance, we don't know how to deal with it. We let it arise. So it becomes the what we call the attachment. And this we go to this person, no? And then we form something in the mind. So become anger, or even become there, like your feeling, have a good feeling, and all these things give rise to the birth of what we call another existence. Any form, like happy, unhappy, and so on. But all these things, so, is subject to, once it becomes like when the existence of anything, then the impermanent comes. Here, they talk about old age, sickness, and death. So that means the whole life, so when we die, that's going to follow us. Going to happen, birth, sickness, and death. But in the practice, without waiting to die, this happening all the time. The birth of a new feeling, the birth of anger, the birth of hatred, the birth of attachment, that's happening. So when we like to practice properly, we have to see this one first, how to deal with it, how to minimize our ignorance. So we have to understand the four truths. But you have to remember that a right understanding of wisdom in Buddhism based on, this is very important, based on morality, meditation, sila, samadhi, and panya. So why human beings like us who are not enlightened, we don't have that wisdom yet. Until our mind calm and peaceful, then we can see the truth of this body and mind. So based on good meditation, we can see things as it is, as they are. And then you can see this. The who sees it is the one who knows. Who has suffering is the one who knows. Can the one who knows let go of all this? It can, through sila, samadhi, and panya. So if it let go of everything, then happiness or the end of suffering arrive at the corner. Not that difficult. So always, while we come to the practice, we place wisdom as something very important about the four. Only when you see fire as fire, and then you don't touch it, you see heat as is, you don't go into it. So you stay away from the trouble. But in order to see clearly, you must be a good boy and good girl, good son, good daughter, having good moral conduct. Okay? Good moral conduct and practice meditation. Otherwise, the mind is wandering. Have no chance to see as clear as possible. So, we see old age and sickness and death happening to this body. If we have good meditation, this what you call this mind can stay by itself. First, we stay away from distractions and worry, keep the trouble away from us, but it won't last that long. Maybe 1 hour, maybe a longer time, but meditation can help you to have peace of mind, but cannot get rid of the cause of the suffering. And only when you have the wisdom, and then you can let go, you can get rid of the cause of the suffering. So the cause of the suffering, say when it comes to the practice, the body, right action and right speech, and the mind, meditation. When it comes to the meditation, this has to be under control. Control the six senses. But if you don't practice meditation, whenever you see anything, you like it, liking arise. You don't like it, disliking arise. So how to pacify purify your mind? You have to practice meditation. Come to the one quietness of the mind and what they call the equanimity. It goes like this. When you have good meditation, sometimes when the mind becomes single, and then the piti, the joy, comes first, feeling so happy because you get good samadhi and feeling good. No? And then happiness arrives because of that. And later on, when that happiness subsides, the one-pointedness and the equanimity arise. That is the best. Once you have that, so no liking and no disliking because of the contact. And then once you have equanimity, there is no attachment. But you don't stay in that long. You must remember that you have to use your wisdom to get rid of the cause of the suffering. The cause of the suffering, in a very simple term, greed, hatred, and ignorance. Or in the another term, lust, anger, and delusion. Or craving for sensual pleasures, craving for existence, and craving for non-existence. In a deeper level, they say like that. So, once you have a good meditation, you purify your mind, you become calm and equanimous, and then through that equanimity, through that calm and peaceful mind, you see things as it is. In fact, that is everything, something that anicca, dukkha, anatta, three characteristics. Never forget that one. Anything at all, this and this, except this one. But this one, up and down, because of something there, good and bad, stirring up. It suffer for long time because of samsara, because the good and the bad keep moving. So if your practice good meditation come to level of the inside, you let go first. And like we talk about the full foundation of mindfulness, the Satipatthana, mindfulness of the body. We cling and we attach to this body. See the body as it is or as they are. Once you understand that, through your own good meditation, oh no, you won't attach it. How can you attach to the old age, sickness and death? How can you attach to the ugliness of the body? It's impossible. Only through your delusion you attach to it. Otherwise, oh no. But come back to the practice of the Buddha teaching again. There's a level of what they call the Dhammacharya, practice the Dhamma according to the level of the lay people. Maintaining the five precepts. Many of you keep the four precepts, but not five precepts. Some even less than four. But many keep four precepts, not five precepts. No? So if you keep five precepts, you practice what is called Dhammacharya. The practice of the Dhamma in the level of the lay people. That means you are very good on earth, walking along as the deity in the lower heaven. That means once you depart from here, you're going to be born in heaven. Very important, no? If you don't have precept, what they call Sila-vipatti, that in Pali, the failure of morality brings you down. Great misfortune will happen because of wrong conduct. So we have to be very careful. But if you practice properly, they call the Sila-sampatti. That means you get great prosperity because of keeping the precepts. You're going to be born as human being and then go to the heaven or back to human being again. But once you have Sila-vipatti, you don't have good precepts, where life very difficult because you have to pay back the karma you have done to others. You have to suffer a great deal. And then if you are better off, say you're single or you're grown up, having children grown up already, father and mother stay together sometimes as a friend, you know. So that means occasionally they can practice what we call brahmacharya, a kind of homeless life. Having the eight precepts in that no sexual relation, not eating after the midday, no cosmetic and perfume, no entertaining, no beautifying yourself, your own body, and sleeping on the very simple mat or method. So this kind of life away from the sensual pleasure, that means you have a good control of this one. You keep practicing, if you die, to the highest heaven. Through the eight precepts alone and having meditation, when you come to the good practice, nothing is so important to you on this earth or planet. There's no value. Why? Everything is changing, impermanent, and subject to suffering. Everything doesn't belong to you. Anicca dukkha anatta. But when you practice every step and good meditation up there to the highest heaven, and even you have a chance to attain enlightenment on this very life. So that's a very good one. If you go to the heaven, they want you not to be too low in the earth. Have to go higher because there is a big fire on earth, and then if there is any fire, it can cause trouble to those who are in the lower heaven. So that means that if we are among those who are not enlightened, we are in trouble. But if you go up to the very good one, away from trouble. So that's once you practice meditation, you are able to control your six senses. So very important this part. If you like to go ahead with the good practice, meditation is a must, and then have to control the six senses. The five precepts is necessary, but this one also important. Five precepts for the bodily action, for the speech, to make sure that you don't do anything wrong physically and verbally. That means no bad karma. So very good person, you know. Not only that, when you practice meditation, loving kindness and compassion will flow from your heart to every corner of the world. Because you are a 100% good person, peaceful person, your goodwill can go anywhere and stay. But without good precepts, how can you say I'm good to everyone on earth? Impossible. If you still, if you are able to harm them, if you still do the wrong thing to them, say the wrong thing to the people, no chance to have that kind of compassion and loving kindness. So a person who wish to be enlightened in the future, a person who wish to be the Buddha in the future, have to observe the five precepts. In all causes, in any circumstances, you can die for others, but never let anyone die because of you. You can sacrifice your life for others, but never let anyone harm and hurt because of you. So that's the way we do. And this, if you're not practicing, we have eyes. Every time we see, we collect what we call the dust and the dirt for the mind. So every time we don't know, if we practice, we know that all liking and disliking is a certain form of greed and hatred. In fact, this knowing mind can stay by itself without depending on anything on earth. It can stay by itself. So if you depend on somebody, you become a slave of your own greed, of your own hatred and own ignorance. So if you like to free from suffering, meditation is a must. You have to do that. And then the body, what we call the mindfulness of the body, and the mindfulness of the feeling, vedana and upasana. The two things, the feeling, see as it is as they are. It rise up, staying for a while and go away. All the time like that. So don't get crazy because of happy feeling or unhappy feeling, but that's impossible to say like this to those who don't understand the teaching of the Buddha. You're mad, they will say. But in the practice of the teaching, we have to talk like this. There's a turtle walking along in the forest, not near the forest. Because the turtle has the head, has the four legs and the tail. So the dog coming up and barking. And the turtle, in order to protect himself, he pulls all the legs in and his head in his shell. So the same way we practice meditation. Close our eyes, close our ears. Don't have to, just meditate on one thing. The mind be very calm and very peaceful. Then the mind doesn't wander outside, doesn't go to any form or any sound or any smell. So we are away from the trouble. And there was a fox that had injury on his head. Wherever that fox goes, they always complain that this place is no good for me. Under the sea is not good. Near the water is not good. Anywhere, not good. Without knowing that the true cause of the suffering is not the place, it's injury on his head. So once that injury is healed, wherever he goes, he's happy. So the same, if you practice meditation, no complaint. Very happy, very peaceful, very calm. The trouble is in your mind. That's what the Buddha would say. In yourself, you are the one who created the trouble. So why this is that's very important. So here we see the feeling, happy feeling, unhappy feeling, that means greed and hatred and neutral feeling. Without understanding it properly, with convolution, the best feeling in Buddhism is not that happy feeling. It's the feeling that comes from good meditation. Joy that comes from good meditation, happiness, then one poisonous on mind, one fickle mind, and then equanimity. That is the best. And when we practice the full Brahma Vihara, the virtues of a very good people, metta, loving kindness to all, karuna, compassion, and then mudita is joy, and then equanimity. So without doing these three virtues, you cannot come up to equanimity. Otherwise, you become like a person has no heart at all. So must go through loving kindness, compassion, joy, and equanimity. So equanimity is the best. What happens if you cling to the happy feeling? When happening a happy feeling goes, then unhappy feeling arises. So it works like this. Because of this, we have to do the good and the bad karma. Because this one originally is bright and shiny, so that's what is called the seed of the bodhicitta, the mind that's going to be enlightened. This is the one. There's a seed of enlightenment in here. We have trouble because of unwanted visitors that come to the mind. We welcome the bad one. We don't welcome the good one. So the mind getting darker and darker. So naturally, like us, normally, people don't look after their own action, don't look after their own speech, don't look after their own mind. So impossible for them to have a good action, good speech, and good mind. But when it comes to the practice of Buddhism, we have to control our action. So this good speech, good action, and good thought. So once we have this, it's all up here. So when they are in here, we have the mind and matter. That means when we say like this, there's a knowing mind originally. If we say anything at home, one, that means the original mind is the one. It comes from that. Become two or four because of that. But in order to stop the trouble, thinking of what the Buddha taught, when you got hit short, what you are supposed to do? Take the arrow out and kill it. Not ask who is his father who shot him. That's very, very good answer, you know, by the Buddha. So this is the place where we store up the good and the bad, and that this under the good morality, meditation and good meditation, then we have control over our six senses. This very important. Cakuna sangvaro sato, good indeed is the restraining of the six senses, or the eye. And the eyes, the ears, and the nose, the tongue, and all that. Very good, very helpful. Without this, cannot have peace and happiness. So, if we like to cut, it's just like the link together, no? If you like to go through, we practice morality, saying here, we apply wisdom. Here, morality, meditation, control this one. And then we have ability to control our six senses. So that means wherever you go, you don't have trouble at all. So when this fall flat, that I mean it has been minimized. The craving come to a minimum, or have this minimized, and then less attachment, and become less. Then once there's no birth of your own feeling, no birth of or the anything at all, because the mind knows already. And then when it comes to that, what they say, how to practice properly, sir, in very short, can you give me a short advice? At one time the Buddha said to Bahiya, he said, when you see, just see. Don't let liking and disliking disturb your mind. When you hear, just hear it. Don't let liking and disliking disturb your mind. When you're realizing anything, just realizing. Don't let liking and disliking to disturb your mind. So let go. First, of course, or the bad karma, the bad action, that means let go of the bad action, let go of the bad speech. Then when it comes to good meditation, let go of the five hindrances, let go of distractions and worries, and then let go of the happy feeling, unhappy feeling, because this is not you. You're attached to it, you think it is you, but it won't stay there. Actually, it's a fact in life. Happiness never stay with us, the happy feeling, for a longer period of time. It come and it go. How many times we suffer, how many times we have happiness, can you store it up, can you keep it somewhere? No. Only when you think of it and then it comes. Otherwise, it goes away. So let go of everything, good and bad. Of course, in practice of the Buddha's teaching, let go of the bad first, and then keep the good one, practice the good one, and then at the end of the practice, you can let go even the good one. So in order to get rid of the old age, sickness and death, this what we call the effect. These are the cause of the suffering. We can say that this one and this one, the cause of the suffering and the craving, attachment, becoming, all this the cause of the suffering. So old age, sickness and death, that is the the effect. So always, when it comes to practice, right understanding first, based on morality, meditation, we use our insight to see things as it is, I am there. Very important. Based on, remember, good meditation, we try to see. And then when we see that, it doesn't belong to us. So, let go. Actually, a very beautiful word, in English. Let go. When somebody is dying, I used to watch somebody dying, and Australian friend said, let go. That means that don't cling to this, the suffering life. Let go. So that's come from right understanding. Understanding the suffering, the cause of the suffering, and the cessation of suffering, and the path leading to the end, the end of the suffering. But once we see this clearly, we remove our attachment. When we remove our attachment to this, that means that the cause of the suffering goes. At the very same time, when this one disappears, this one's on the corner. And the process of doing that, we are walking along the path. So we keep doing that, that means we practice the full truth. And in practice, when it comes to the true practice, of course, right speech, right action, and right rule, they have to be with us. Don't break the precept at any time. Otherwise, we create a bad karma. Otherwise, we cannot come to a good meditation. So this is a must. And then when you come to the good morality, it doesn't mean that when it comes to the precept, you have to go to the temple and ask the precept for the monk, or ask the monk to tell you about the precept. Anytime when you mind calm and peaceful, without causing trouble to yourself and causing trouble to others, that naturally it becomes a morality. Because you don't harm and hurt anyone. And the fact that your mind is still and calm, that moment you have a very good meditation. At least that's a short one, calm and peaceful. And then the one who knows it, that you are calm and peaceful, that's what we call the wisdom. So in the very same mind, in which we talk in detail, in fact, when it comes to the one thing, it's just about morality, it's about the mind. Ultimately, meditation about the mind, wisdom about the mind. The whole thing, no? About the mind, so it becomes from one. It multiplies because of this, what we call the ignorance and stupidity in the mind. So, and then, right effort, this have to do again and again and again and again. So, for us, we sit in the morning, in the evening, or any time. So it becomes the habit. Whenever you have time, you practice it. But in the true practice, mindfulness has to be with you at any time of the day. Say, the teacher said like this. Say, if you are on the bus, on the train, at the time, no one thinking of the teaching of the Buddha, that bus is empty. That bus doesn't have any good karma. But once you remember the Buddha, memorize the teaching, or practicing the teaching, or practicing meditation, you are doing something wholesome and positive for yourself. You're not an empty person. You are a very good person. So must have a good practice all the time. So you see this in this world. If you like to have any success and prosperity, you must make effort. Not allowed to be lazy at any time. Remember, if anyone say we have been accused of being lazy, you know. But in practice, you have to be diligent, and that's for any person who likes to be successful in his life. And then save money, whatever you earn, and then always have good friends. And the fourth one, very good, spend money wisely, you know. So never forget that, no. Always diligent to earn money and save it. And having a good friend, because you are not alone, you are related. Once you have good friends, you have everything. They support you, they look after you. They give you good advice. They help you. Never have a bad friend. Stay away from them. But if not possible to stay away from them physically, distance your mind from them. So, when it comes to the spiritual effort, meditation has to be done, has to practice. In this what kind of effort, we have to practice. Once we practice meditation, then that means we get it off, liking and disliking that might come to disturb that knowing mind. And then if any bad habit ever, so you have a kind of attachment or anything that in you, that also you have to make effort to get rid of it. Any bad habit, anything bad. And then if anything good, any kindness, any kind of generosity ever done by you, anything at all, you make effort to develop it. And not just develop it, you have to look after it. So once you have a good meditation, you have to keep it alive. Make sure it gets stronger and stronger, better and better, so you can have great wisdom. So once the effort is strong, mindfulness is always there. When it comes to the good practice, the thing that help you to get rid of the cause of the suffering is the mindfulness, concentration, and wisdom together. Sati, samadhi, and panya. Three things. Sati, mindfulness, samadhi, concentration, or meditation, and panya, wisdom. This is the most helpful thing. If not mindful, you will be attacked by the cause of the suffering. The cause of the suffering would run over you. So mindful of mindful all the time of your own practice. And the good thing is that in spite of all the trouble that we have, remember the mind can think of one thing at a time. That's very good thing. Why? If you cling to something good, there's no room for the bad one to take over. At that particular time, say, when you mind calm and peaceful, you can be happy in that very moment, very peaceful, away from any trouble. Just like a sharp needle, cannot hold any grain of sand. No matter how hard you like to put on the top of it, it won't hold. There is no place. So once you have a single mind on anything, and then you are away from trouble. Say you face that direction, so many tigers passing behind you. No fear, because you don't see them. So once your mind is with one thing, you forget the rest. So very peaceful, very calm. But again, if you strip it, have done all lot of good things, as a good son, you know, and a good daughter, a good boy. And then you, instead of thinking of the good one, good thing that you have done, you don't. You think of only the bad one from someone or somewhere, keeping that in your mind and disturbing your mind all the time. That's a great stupidity, you know. You suffer because of that. That means you don't have mindfulness. So, mindfulness, concentration is a must, and then wisdom. But sometimes they might, what you call, they don't say this one, mindfulness and wisdom, sati and panya. So, like a good father and good mother that look after the son and the boy, and the son and the daughter, or the bad boy or the bad daughter. So once you have the good mother and good father, the boy or the girl is well looked after. So mindfulness is a must. Mindfulness and wisdom. And that once this one is very, very, very good one, it helps the right understanding stronger and stronger. So we say right effort, right mindfulness, and right concentration as meditation. This one, right livelihood, right action, right speech, and morality, and then right thought and right understanding as our wisdom. So in practicing this one, the running along, the practicing the teaching of Buddha. How to keep the wholesome thought alive all the time. How to be mindful to keep that wholesome thought as long as possible. This one, is the one that practicing. Who is walking along the path? It's not the feet of anyone, anybody. It's the mind. It's the thought that running along the path, the teaching of the Lord Buddha. So we can say that morality can be found in here. Meditation can be found in here. Wisdom can be found in here. But if we don't practice, the unborn thing, the defilement, come to make the mind darker and darker. It's very sad indeed that many people suffer because of they don't have a purity of the mind. They don't have peacefulness. They don't have the wisdom for the mind. So never forget, no? This one, and all together with this one. And then we can see some good things in Buddhism. People might think that we are always negative, talking about the suffering. But in practice, we like to see suffering as suffering and let go of the cause of the suffering. So the one who knows is this one. The body has suffering, the elements, the matter has the suffering, but doesn't know its own suffering. So that means no suffering. And then if that knowing mind doesn't have attachment, then means there's no suffering. Something happening, but no suffering, no suffering. So we can let go our attachment. We have a very good practice. But if we don't do this, what happens? Here, groping in the dark, sometimes we do good, we do bad, all store up in the consciousness, what we call conception consciousness, and then this, the citta, what they call the thought and the matter, the feeling. Here you can see the five aggregates, you know? The form, the feeling, the perception, mental activities, and consciousness. So this one, and then we see this as it is or as they are. Don't think it. And in other days, talk to you about it. They see Buddha for us to understand that our body compared to the four kinds of the snake, like the four elements. You look after the snake all the time, feeding this body, looking after this body, taking bath and so on. But at the end of the day, old age, sickness, and death happens to you. But only when you dare to attach that your own body, then you suffer. And if you let go, it's not mine. It comes from the four elements, not me. Oh, you're happy. But then the body and the mind stay together. What happened to the old man who is very wise, get sick and all that? He has any pain? Yes. You have. Sometimes you make noise and so on, but it doesn't disturb the peacefulness of his mind. It doesn't go that far. A little bit of noise, not that much, but it does have, he has pain because the body is just the house and the mind stays. Even the, like something that say like you burn something, even the firewood and so on, sometimes it causes the noise. They said the body the same. It reacts to anything. But it doesn't mean that anything that happens would cause trouble to the mind. Because if he practice, have a good practice, he always save from the trouble. So once that we have the body and the mind, we have fixed them. So always remember, after having good precepts, never forget six things. This one coming along. If you like to practice properly, otherwise, no good. So why in this kind of modern world we have lot of trouble, great disaster? Why? Because people watching TV, that's all they know. It comes to bombard their mind. When internet is the picture of the what you call the cycle of birth and death. The feeling compared to someone who has the arrow striking his own eye. Very funny. Why they have? That means why they do like that. That means all these things create trouble. As if you strike your mind with a sharp knife. So in order to stay away from the trouble, keep calm, meditate. So you don't have liking and adjusting. And this, once the craving is not there, the flame of lust, the flame of anger, and the flame of delusion become less and less. It doesn't burn you anymore. So you can see that. So why, when it comes to the practice for any good person, if you like to have a family, sincerity and honesty comes first. Remember, you must take what responsibility, you must have the duty. And both of you have to be equal. That means both are good person, are wholesome person. Sometimes the Buddha said that this. Sometimes he said, if husband is not good, he compared to the ghost. And if wife is very good, she compared to that deity. So the ghost and deity live together, no good, But sometimes if both of them are bad, so ghost and ghost living together, fighting each other, And then if they are all good, they are deity living together. So sincerity and honesty come first. Before you jump into this kind of marriage life, thinking of the duty and responsibility. Yeah? Failing to do that, you are not good person. So if you are not prepared for that, come to the temple more often. Otherwise you are in trouble, So, and then the five precepts, of course, it makes a person content with what he has or what he has. That's very important, because you cannot satisfy your own desire. The ocean cannot be satisfied with the water, no matter how much you put into it. The fire cannot be satisfied with any firewood, no matter how much you put into it. A greedy person, even worse, cannot be satisfied with anything. So how much you have to suffer? So contentment comes first. You can see the limit of the happiness that you have. And all these things are impermanent. So say you have good family, have children, look after them, be very good person, keep the five precepts. Then when the children grow up, prepare yourself for the future life. 8 precepts come along, more meditation, like that, you prepare yourself. So if you're fed up with the family, next time I have to be a monk or have to be a nun. So that's the way we should do, Otherwise, very, very difficult. And then nowadays, you have to set up your own time. Don't play with all the things that you have. Otherwise, what happens? That consciousness, that knowing mind, would be the place of all everything. good and bad, the storage of the good and bad. So every time you see, you like it or you don't like it, it comes to disturb your mind. So put it away. Deal with when it's the time comes when you have to do something. But if you have to entertain your way that way, no chance. Because they are all impermanent and cannot be sacrificed. They are all impermanent. And after all, life on earth is short compared to the happiness in the future. Compared to the suffering in the future. They said suffering on earth is short compared to the suffering that we might have in the future. Happiness on earth is short compared to the happiness that we will have in the future. So have to think about that. Life is limited. How long you're going to last? So keep doing good karma, no? So why the society, universe like this, you have to have a chance to learn and to practice the teaching of the Buddha. Once you become familiar with the teaching, you understand that you see your own value. So from the Chinese tradition, Mahayana, the very important you have to understand is they talk about the seed of enlightenment, the Bodhicitta. It's every living being, even in a dog, in a cat like that. But you don't look after your own. Oh, no. This is going to help everyone. The Buddha has the same mind. And the beauty of it, once you look after your own, yourself, when you do the good thing, the whole population in heaven, on your side, the Buddha in the past, on your side, the good people on your side. But if you are bad, the good one will not come to you. So you are backed by or harmed by the bad people. A very generous person stay together, very friendly. But a greedy person stay together fighting. So the bad thing doesn't help you at all. So you have to be a good person. So that's what I like to tell you. So say again, if there is anything originally, what we say, originally the mind is by and silent. Why we have trouble? Because we don't look after it properly. The defilement comes into it. Here, I'd like to tell you, many of you have heard the patriarch, the sixth patriarch, Vinay, and then the great disciple of the fifth one, what he say, this body compared to the Bodhi tree, and the mind compared to the mirror. Let us make effort, you know. Clean it every day so the dust doesn't sit on it. So, as a way, we take this as the tree of enlightenment, and the mind is the mirror. Or we can say that the mind is the seed of enlightenment. Please look after it. So that it can help us and help many people. But this one who can say this, one who are practicing this, on the way to enlightenment, not enlightenment. The sixth patriarch come up. Once everything is complete, you know, because he has done the practice, he said, in fact, the mind is not a tree. Oh no, the body is not the tree, the mind is not the mirror. Then, where the dust and the dirt will sit on, that means that he completed the practice. So originally, the mind is bright and shining, it become dark because of the defilement that comes to it. So in order to get rid of that darkness or defilement, we have to practice morality, make sure that have good control over our body, our speech, have a good control over our mind. So meditation come along, very helpful. Without meditation, the mind would be all over the place, have no power, no happiness inside. They were running around. So a person who has good meditation, the mind always with it, what we call the mindfulness. So they understand things properly. And they understand, once they understand themselves, any person who understands himself or herself properly, he or she would understand everyone on earth with the same sort of pattern. It's not different. And not only that, as I said, once you do the good thing, you have many people supporting you. So it comes, no? When like people like you, even myself, when I was born, when I grew up as a boy, no plan to come to Australia. We don't have anything, any knowledge. But the karma would make in such a way that at certain age, at certain time, you have to be there, have to be here, and like yourself, you know. This is the way of the karma. It helps us. Like if there is good thing in your mind, you that would be drawn you or brought you, would bring you to the good people. Because some good thing is in you. But if you have the bad one, no chance. The bad karma will not bring you to the good one. So look after that. Once you that one is well looked after, it's wonderful. So in practice, the tradition, no? Before anything else, like every morning, even you pay respect at your own place, no? Without any Buddha image, no? You can have the photo of the Buddha image or any teacher that you like, pay respect 3 times, the Buddha, the Dhamma, the Sangha. And then if possible, do the short chanting like that. So all these things come from the Buddha, and come from his teaching, come from the Sangha. And again, I like to explain to you, where is the Buddha? The Buddha is the mind that attained enlightenment. He attained enlightenment. He is perfect, far better than us. But we are doing the same thing. So once this mind wakes up to the truth and practices the teaching, this my going to be the Buddha. And any teaching that flow from the enlightenment, what we call the Dhamma. And the Dhamma, something holds, the Pali word, something holds its own nature. It cannot, like a good cannot become bad, bad cannot become good. Always, if something impermanent, has to be impermanent all along. So easy to practice wisdom. Once you say no, you don't do it. This bad karma, don't touch it, you know. So if you are that easy and simple, you know, oh, very good, huh? Remember, again. So if we keep practicing, and then the virtue will grow stronger and stronger. Look after yourself. Once you look after yourself, then you can help many, many people. So the good thing always say in history, back to history, the Buddha attained enlightenment in India. So he spent 45 years teaching Buddhism in northeastern India. And after that, his disciples went all over the place. So his teaching has been recorded, and all the good things done by his disciples remain until today. So anything that So you go to any country, say Buddhist country, if there anything inspiring you, that thing would be something to do with the Buddha. The great statue, the great shrine and so on, oh, far better than anything. If just mountain are like that, and just water, no matter how beautiful the ocean, no matter how beautiful the mountain, it doesn't have the spirit. But once a good person live on it, that's all the great thing. So Australia needs a lot of good people to stay away from the natural disaster. Nowadays, many people talk about it. So if you like to stay away from the natural disaster, you have to take the cause or the power from your mind. And then what they call the heaven, the good karma will look after us. Always the case that those who, like the Taiwan, because surround the coastline,
many people who do the fishing, you know? Of course, in Laos and Thailand, the same thing. So after so many years, there would be a kind of collective karma that people have to suffer from what they have done. Of course, we can't see it clearly, but the good one always says, natural disaster can happen. So if there is no good thing, the world would not last that long. And you can see that any place that have trouble, without the good teacher around, good teaching around, that place always having trouble. But any place where the good monk around, good people around, good king around, that place would be away from the trouble. So if we practice the teaching more and more, then there would be prosperity, happiness in this world. But if we don't, we are in trouble because we have to suffer from the karma we have done. You have to understand properly, like say what happened to Phuket. It's beautiful. Many people like to go to Phuket. Many people died during the tsunami. Why? So I went myself and have a look. In that island, Phuket, is a place where they do the mining for a long, long time. So the mountain has been disturbed, has been cut, and of course, the fishing is happening. And then later on, many people come because of beautiful coastline, the sand and the beach. And so many people who love the pleasure, who love this kind of life, come on the swimming suit or on bikini or anything. You ask whether the ghost and the spirit like it. Who get benefit from it? Only the greedy. So doesn't have anything to return to the nature. Doesn't have anything to return to the country. So the time has come for people to suffer. So if we do the good thing, keep doing the good thing, this will not happen. Of course, this won't happen so often. It takes a long period of time. Even in Sri Lanka, there's no record in history that this kind of thing happened. So it would be a long time that what you call the collective karma come together and do something. But this body is a very rough one, very coarse, what you call it. So when the bad karma come, can take it easy. But if this mind is pure, perfect, no bad karma can come to get it. Some could die in a tragic way, in tragedy and so on, but the mind can be very beautiful and good. Because of the karma they have done in the past, they have to suffer. But the mind is doing very well. So let's go. When the time comes, let's go to the body, ash to ash and dust to dust. Let the earth elements go to the earth, let the water to the water, and the air to the air, and then the peaceful mind stand by itself, the knowing mind stand by itself. So now you understand that we have body, we have mouth, we have mind. Take care, make sure that this mouth of us won't create any bad karma, no lying, no bad speech, no gossiping, no empty talk. And then no bodily action, no killing, no stealing, no committing sexual conduct, no drinking, intoxicating drink. Please, those who have observed four preachers for a long time, now is the time to observe four or five preachers. And that bring good name to universe, you know. Okay, any question?
Again, the ignorance can happen anytime,
So because of ignorance, we do the bad karma. And because of this ignorance, this one, the knowing mind, coming out and attached to everything comes. When comes the bad one, you know? So because of this ignorance, again, this mind has this section, that body. And because of ignorance, this body of us doing the wrong thing, say the wrong thing. And because of the ignorance, whatever we see, we let the lighting and this lighting to come to disturb us, the knowing mind. And then because of the ignorance, we attach the feeling. Happy feeling, unhappy feeling, and neutral feeling. And because of ignorance, we have craving like that. So that is the bad one, you know. And because of the ignorance, we have attachment and become. And that ignorance take us to birth again. Some people say the past one. From this to this is the present is the future. But in practice, we take it as a one life. Something that happening here. The Buddha don't talk about the past. You don't have to go through lifetime to practice the teaching. Like it happens. It's a chain. It's a link. Happen. So if no ignorance, then wisdom, good karma. Okay. So when good karma, this becomes better. No attachment. So this one, no distractions, no worry, no doubt. And this one, very good. So good speech and good action. So when they see anything, they don't let the lighting and its lighting to disturb their mind. So in practice meditation, what you call the living path is the path that away from lighting and its lighting. Never forget how to go without lighting and its lighting, peaceful and calm. That's the one. So once there's no liking and disliking, the feeling becomes purified, calm, and equanimity. So if calm and equanimity, no craving, harless. Instead, the compassion and kindness go everywhere because the mind is pure and perfect. So whatever they do, they don't attach it. They leave it for the happiness of the people. No attachment at all. Like an enlightened one, so if we have a chance to do good to them, 100 benefits return to you. But if you do good to non-enlightenment, he has to survive himself, he has to depend on his own merit, you know. So how much he can spare for you. So very important, always go to the good one. But it doesn't mean that you look up only to the good one without looking down to the bad one. Do every kind of kindness, if possible, to everyone, to the animal, to any person, right from the start to the very good one. So once you do that, you do the very good thing. But without seeing the good one, sometimes you lose your heart, and then your goodness will not bring the same benefit. So always have a good book, the teaching of Buddha with you, and practicing it, thinking of the good teachers in the past and the present. Always have a kalyana mitta, what you call a good relation with the good people all the time. So once there less attachment, then the ego become less and less. You don't become anything. When it comes to this, something exists, but not the earth element, not the air element, not this world, not next world, but something exists, like your own mind. Something is there, but you can't say
of course you can't talk about the form, but you can know the origin. So once the ego is less, no egoism, and the chance to born again is farther. And if anything at all, maybe the Sotapanna only 7 lifetimes, right? 7 times, 7 lifetimes, and then less and less. So no more rebirth. Then there's no rebirth, no old age sickness and death. So that's
what you call the dependent origination. So one, this the one, you know, and okay.
When you talked about the ego, and then the ego is becoming, and then it comes to birth, sickness, old age, and death. The birth, sickness, old age, and death. What is it?
Yeah. Actually, this one, not like a human birth, but anything that having any what exists in the mind. So that kind of existence happening and always go through like the impermanence, and whoever attached it will suffer. Doesn't mean that the future life. But if you not enlightened, of course you come to that. So in the impermanence, the suffering, anicca, dukkha, anatta, or anything that you attach to would cause your trouble. Anything at all.
Sickness
like that, it doesn't have a what you call go through the what we can say impermanence and suffering that come to whoever attached to it, whoever have that. Because this understanding this one, the knowing mind, it's there staying by itself without anything at all. When it become perfect, it will not attach to anything, either matter or the mind or any thought. So any thought that exists, it won't stay always impermanent. So once impermanent, whoever attached it would have suffering. That's why we can say like a sickness or anything like that. Doesn't mean that like the sickness of the body. It's the impermanent, the impurity, or you can say that the imperfect, not perfect state. So you belong, you cling to something impermanent. Anicca, dukkha, anatta.
So is there a difference between old age
and that, of course, when it comes to the old age, sickness, and death, and that say, if we born as human being, you can see the theory. But this one, we can say that the whole thing is the what you call spiritual suffering. Yeah. Again, impermanence and all that. Nothing to do with the physical body. Yes.
Can you explain again what is the karma formation?
This one, anything that here, like we have not come to this one yet. But this knowing mind brought up from the past. That you have the good and the bad one come from the action you do, the speech you have, and the mental the thought that you have. So store up there without doing anything, and only when you have the body, that then it come. And then say if you have the bad one would help you to have the bad action, bring you to the bad action and the bad speech. But if you have the good one, you do all the good things. So here, sankhara here, the karma formation, anything, good quality and bad quality, that stay in the knowing mind.
So you do the action
this
that's a result of the
yeah. You are it's in your from the previous. Yeah. But of course, like I said, when you have ignorance, this is the factory. Even this life, you understand that? Once you have ignorance, what's going to happen? You ignore the truth, you don't do the right thing, so then you store up. And also that in that there is a good and bad from the past. So we can say that because as human beings this come first. That means you have something bad, something good already. And the fact that you still have ignorance, this is the factory of the good and bad. So this factory make all the products for this one to look after or store up there. In this one. And then this one is the what we call the citta is the process of the mind. We can't say like sometimes in Abhidhamma citta, cetasika, rupa, nibbana. Citta, this one. Cetasika, this one. The mind. Yes. Because that cetasika means feeling. Perception, mental activities, and consciousness. And rupa means this one. Four elements. Yes. Nama and rupa. We can say nama and rupa. We call that the cetasika. Nama and rupa, mind and mental, or body and mind. Citta, cetasika, say that knowing mind have a thought, have a nama and then what we call a rupa. So in practice, you make sure that you have the rupa do the right thing, practice variety, and then the nama practice meditation and hanging with them. Once you complete your practice, this citta become nibbana. Citta, cetasika, rupa, nibbana. I hope that you keep it alive and practice it, no?
Yeah. Any more questions? Anyone?
Yeah, this is very interesting. Sometimes I think you have to invite because the Lama too, no? They talk about these things and different even from the Mahayana school how they talk about because this is one of the Buddha goes through this before he attained enlightenment. And every monk have to go through the Patijasamupada before he attained enlightenment. So interesting to know. But always come with the four truths, the most important path, and the four foundation of mindfulness. So that would be enough to understand the Buddha's teaching. Okay. Yeah.
This is not asking. Asking. How did Buddha come to see the self moon? How did the Buddha come to see the self
moon?
What sort of practice does one go through?
Like this now. Just like what we did. First, you know, he very good person, and he practiced a lot of meditation. But through meditation alone doesn't help him to come to understand the truth. So he turned away from the two teachers, Buddhaka and Alara, and then he thought the other way that maybe self-mortification is a way to achieve enlightenment. So he tried that one and failed again. But this time, be lucky that this body is just the house and the mind is the one that causes problems. So if I keep this body healthy and practice, I might see the truth. So then he, after having a good meal on that day and in that afternoon, he sits under the Bodhi tree
What they say that he goes through that because good meditation, good samadhi can help him to understand, recall the past life, his own past life for so many hundred thousand million life, you know, that will happen to him. He can see that. Doesn't mean that he attain enlightenment. So any mystical power done by anyone, anybody, doesn't mean that that person is completely enlightened. So it could happen. And then after that, he can recall the life of all us. But the last watch before dawn, then he goes into the inside. Actually, when we try to find out something, the one who knows is always there. Help him. The one who knows never dies. The thought come and go. The one who knows know all the time. And see the body first. And then see the process of the mind. So why we have to suffer how to attain enlightenment? Then the truth is that through ignoring the full truth, because he has to go beyond the any kind of suffering and see, and who, even like we did, who is in suffering and who see that suffering. And then this we come to know, oh no, the body has suffering, the mind is different. Only when the mind attached to this, we have suffering. So the cause of the suffering comes from the knowing mind itself, that's not having a good practice. That knowing mind doesn't let go the craving and desire. So that's how we come to know this, that they come from the past, you know, good karma of him, they come from the past, that he, through the meditation, he understands this. Understand the body, kayanupasana come first. See the body and who is in suffering. See the vedana, the feeling, and who is suffering. And then the citta, the process of the mind, and who is suffering. And then the dhamma itself, you know. Now all this come from something come from the mind. But the mind attached to it, as if you attach to your own shadow, how can you grab it? Something is beyond you, and then something is not solid, not substantial. So the ignorance comes from where? Comes from the own mind. And what happened, you can see too, why we have to suffer as a human being? Because of this sixth sense. So that means morality is very clear to him, and a meditation control over the sixth sense very clear to him. So he sees this. So we say if we have good meditation, coming to the equanimity and one-pointedness, then at that level we stay away from the trouble already. So like a sotapanna means that if you attach to this body, you are in trouble. Sakayatiti. You think that this body is you. But you, if you see as it is, as they are, as the four elements, you let go of attachment, greed or lust toward this body become less. And you know that the mind must have discipline. Good precepts have to come along. Don't do anything wrong. Don't do anything negative. So, and then this, the thing, the good thing, is a good thing, and that's a good teaching that you must cling to it. So you practice, and you come here to realize, oh, because of ignorance, I have greed, hatred, and ignorance. And then come to the matter, feeling. But the five agate have to be understood properly. So this five, the rupa and nama, or two in short, but in detail, rupa and nama mean that rupa, vedana, form, feeling, perception, mental entities, and consciousness. So you understand this first, the rupa first, because it's very obvious. that always we do, always causing trouble. Why we have to suffer? And who is in suffering? So once you understand that, you come to the feeling. Nothing to do with the body, the feeling that you have. And then it comes and goes, so obvious, you know. It always anicca. So if you try to understand the suffering properly, after you chant Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, the will of the law, you have to chant the Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, talking about the impermanence, the suffering, and anatta. This is like a, what do you call it, the Heart Sutta in Chinese version. So once you understand it, so vedana, feeling, perception, mental activities, and perception is not this one. But coming out from this one, so this one is permanent, but since it depends on something impermanent, this one up and down, are in trouble, circling in a samsara. So if you stop attachment to the form and the feeling, you let go of everything. So once you let go of that, so once you have control over this, you come to equanimity, all that will come to an end. So once you knock down, you get rid of the all the trouble through good moral conduct, through good meditation. Meditation is just away from hiding yourself away from the trouble. Or you put the defilement into the corner where you can attack. But the knife is the wisdom that you begin to cut the what you call the defilement. So use the wisdom. Once you understand as it is or as they are, say here we compare the body to the four kinds of snake. One represents the earth, the other represents the water, the other represents the air, and the other represents the fire. Living with you, you're looking after them all the time. Once you see snake as snake, who going to attack for this decaying body? Let go, like this. And then the feeling and all that, just the fleeting one, come and go, it's not you. You can't do anything to keep them, then you let go again. Who is at peace? That's knowing mind, you know. So that's how he comes to understand, realize the truth. That's what we call the inside one, is the one, wisdom. But must remember, based on good moral conduct and good meditation. Because if you have good meditation, your mind not strong enough, peaceful enough to concentrate, to work for a longer hour. Your mind moving, running along somewhere. But once you have good meditation, the level of meditation, khanika, temporary, upacara, that's not deep meditation. This level you can see. But you have to go into the deep one, and then come out from the deep one, then you can see things as it is, as they are, and let go, let go. So once you let go, there will be the time that your letting go is perfect. Once, the level of the anagami, we attach to the form, to the body. Once the monk comes to that, see the body as it is, see the ugly of the body all the time. But when the time comes, as if that the body is there, what we call the attach of the knowing mind, removed from that body, come to this knowing mind. And they say, no. They say, now I understand that the whole trouble is not the body itself, it comes from my own attachment. So that he can let go the attachment to the body. He become anakami. Then once he attain that, he can be born in the pure land. That Suttavasa in Theravada. Never come back again.
That's a question. Yeah. In the practice stages of the Theravada, right?
Yes.
They have cushions, right?
Yes.
Sakatakami
and Anakami.
And
Anakami, yes.
And finally, the Arahat.
Yes.
Does the monk actually know, is there a way to check at which level they are?
Yes. Yeah, actually,
sometimes they could misunderstand, no? They could misunderstand, like there was a monk who understand that he achieved enlightenment, but his friend know that he is not, because his friend is say how to test it, because I have awakened from this lust and attachment sensual pleasures. There's nothing in my mind, very pure and all that, no? Doesn't create any trouble at all. You know, do this way. We have very good in meditation. Have the very you call it like a vision or a nimitta. Visualize that this beautiful lady, so peaceful, so lovely person, sit on your lap and you give her and all that for a long time. See what happened to your mind. If it make any move, that means you're not. So he did that for a long time, and his mind just moved a little bit. And then when he come, oh no, sir, please forgive me, I misunderstand. This one is the loving one, you know. And then again, test it. Visualize that a very ferocious elephant charging at you, and grab you and attack you. How do you feel it? If there is any movement in your mind, that means you are not. So he had that visualization, and he realized that he's not. So that can be tested.
Or another practitioner.
Can cross check, can the high on always know. Yeah. So okay. Interesting. Yeah, okay.
Just now you were saying the suffering is external to mind. We suffer is because we cannot detach the suffering from the body.
Uh-huh.
How would you reconcile that with the fact that the suffering is also from the karma of the mind? In other words, how I would detach something or negative from the mind?
Through the good meditation, we can be detached. First, how to be detached from this suffering? A good meditation can help us hide ourselves away from the trouble. Stay in whatever, very peaceful, very empty and clear mind. But that will not last long. But then once you understand as it is, even though your body is great suffering, but you can let go of it. Like you play the soccer. You run into that sometimes injury and so on, but you're so excited and you forget your own. But the mind goes in one direction. Once you understand it properly, you can let go of it.
Is suffering a manifestation of the karma?
Of course, but it comes from the karma from the past, actually from the attachment. We can say that if that the cause of the suffering itself is the attachment, come from there. By itself, like if there is no attachment involved, there is no suffering. But of course, the one who gets sick, the enlightened person, can still have pain because have something to do, because the mind and body together still have pain, like many teachers have pain. Once they pass away, and that suffering is not there anymore. Like for all of us, as a human being, when it comes to death, you have no suffering.
So is suffering limited or restricted to the body or the mind?
I would say that together. But if you have a very good meditation, then you have less pain for your own body. Not like the one who doesn't have any good practice at all, because you let go. You see, as they say, it's not you, no. Like this, you see something happening to your neighbor, but you don't have trouble yourself. See somebody in suffering, but not yourself. So the knowing mind is different from the body, from the what is called the concept of the mind, away from the feeling, away from that help them, you know, help the good mind stay away from the suffering. But the body can have trouble, but it doesn't create any trouble to his mind. He's still like that. Even the forgetful, very forgetful because of the what they call the cell in the body get less and less, can be like that. But when it comes to the like a good teacher, when you ask him any question, he talk straight. But if you have to recall something on the name of someone, cannot. And then even he come to, when he walk away and come back to his place, he can't remember. But if anything to do with the practice, you ask him, that come clearly without any mistake. So the mind is knowing mind is very different. When it comes to the good practice, it helps a lot. The body, of course, have to suffer. You say that, of course, all this have the karma involved. You know, it comes from the karma. Even the body suffer because of the karma, the mind suffer because of the karma. But once we can separate the body from the mind, then let the body suffer, the mind stay by itself. But it can have something like the body can feel, you know, but not the mind. Okay.